Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 264, part 2, the conclusion to Law. Today is Sunday, October 28th, 2012.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Some writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. Was the loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing. Senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't lock up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing. Mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. For the times, they are a-changing. It is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last. For the times, they are a-changing.
Why are we so embarrassed of some of our brothers and sisters? God says don't be embarrassed. God says recognize that you're all sinners saved by grace and that we all have missed the mark. Why are we so embarrassed? Because it'll look bad for us, because we've been living sort of a legal thing and we're embarrassed that someone might see us. And so we just, something comes up. And we, now look what you've done. You've embarrassed. Now we all look bad. You look bad because you are bad. Are you looking at yourself? You look bad? God looked bad. They put him on a cross. And a lot of folks were embarrassed then too, folks. Right? Why are we so concerned with that circus? Because it might look us, we might look bad. Barnum and Bailey might go down. And we can become just like the animals. Well, anyway, the wonder grows when you consider the people who had attained righteousness had come to it under a very great disadvantage. Because the Bible says the Gentiles were considered outcasts, aliens from common grace. And they, because it says of not having knowledge of the law, were considered dogs, filthy. And yet, the Bible does say they did despicable acts. The light that shone on Israel, they didn't have that, that's true. But see, they were open to receive. What must we do to be saved? We are a mess. Golly, we're just a mess. We do a despicable act. We know we're dogs, but dogs even get the crumbs off of the table, Master. This really is faith. I'm seeing something here I didn't see in the chosen. Certainly true. What must we do to be saved? Just give us some crumbs. What must we do? See, because their consciences have been aroused. Hey, we're sinners. They knew they were sinners. Hey, we need mercy and grace. You mean it's a free gift? Fill me up. Huh? And after those people were filled that really knew that they needed mercy and grace and forgiveness, oh, what wonderful vessels they were. God had afore prepared them for His glory that they would contain mercy. Vessels of mercy that would contain mercy, that would pour out that which God had made them with His mercy, vessels of mercy, and fill them with mercy that they would pour mercy out. See, it's all I'm trying to say is it's all a mercy message. Well, aren't there such people today? They never go to church. Who aren't religious. Who have never ever heard the gospel. Who never ever thought of God. Whose minds, it says, are on what shall we eat and what shall we drink and where shall we go. It says they followed after their own devices, their own desires of their own lustful hearts, and yet the gospel came. And it says it lit up the midnight of their hearts and souls, and they accepted the good news with joy. Well, then it means someone's got to preach the gospel. Someone has got to leave Barnum and Bailey, Three Ring Circus, and simply go out into the highways and onto the byways and minister the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and stop all this pretense and pretend. And so they had not sought after a shepherd, but he sought them. You didn't come to me. I came to you, Jesus said. How wonderful. That they had not sought after righteousness, yet they found it. Love came to them. It's like the parable, I ministered on it one time, the parable of the treasure found in the field by accident. Or Saul, who went to seek his father's asses and found the kingdom. And even now, those whom you would never think would find the gospel and the kingdom do. Isn't that strange? Isn't that strange, legalist, that someone could find Jesus Christ without you, your perfectnesses? Isn't that strange? They received it first by the hearing. What's that you say? Who opened up their hearing? God did. Like the jailer. What must I do to be saved? And Paul says, what shall we say then? Well, we say this. Herein is seen the sovereign appointment of the Lord. He will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy. Listen, self-righteousnesses, your lordships. God will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy upon. You do not have, in fact, he had mercy on you. Wonder of wonders, he had mercy on you. You need it. But anyway, the Bible says he will fulfill his promise to his son. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not. They shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Well, can't you see this? Here he speaks. He speaks actually to the darkness and says, let there be light, and there is light. Here I see the word of the Lord coming forth out of his mouth and accomplishing the thing whereto it was sent, the Bible says. Also here I see the voice of the Lord which breaketh the cedars, it says, of Lebanon, also breaks the hard hearts of men. Also the Bible says, the voice of the Lord which maketh the hinds to calve and creates new life in the minds of the ungodly. That's the God I'm talking about here today. He's going to have his own way. And so the gospel we speak of is full of power and works according to his eternal purpose. And so the calling of the Gentiles in Paul's day is only one illustration of God's very, very frequent action of sovereign grace. God is a sovereign God, and he is going to do as he wants to, wills to. Oh, but doesn't God have absolutes? He does. But he's sovereign, so he can overrule his absolutes. In other words, God hates sin, but he took on all the sin by his sovereign grace, and just said, I'm going to set this absolute aside. I choose to do it. I choose to come to you first. They're not listening, so I'll get you over here. I'll open up your ears, and I'll put the word in your mouth. And all you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that I am Lord, and you'll be saved. But the legalist couldn't receive that. And what did the Lord say to Hosea? I will call them my people, which are not my people, and her beloved, which was not my beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, they shall be called the children of the living God. Well, I think that's pretty wonderful, don't you? Thus spoke the prophet, and that's the way it's going to be. The Lord, I think, has many more chosen ones to call from their death, I'd say, in sin. Many of the skeptics will be called. Many of the prostitutes will be called. Many of those in prisons will be called. Many of the so-called self-righteous ones will be called. Many of you who say, I don't believe a word of it, you're going to be called. Many of you scoffers, maybe you're scoffing right now, you're going to be called. It won't be because so much of my preaching. It'll be because the word of God is preached, yes, and it'll just say, come to me, all ye that are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. It'll be some work. You're going to need it. You scoffers are going to be called. And listen, you people out there that don't even know what you believe. You don't know what to believe. Oh, there's so much commotion going on. God's going to call you too. Whether you like it or not, you have been chosen, and in that you have been chosen, you will be called. I remember when I was called. Now, I remember several times that I was called. I wasn't listening. sort of a Samuel deal. I heard the voice and I heard the call, but I didn't come. But see, God was busy, you know, taking out all those old pilings, that old foundation, that old self foundation, that flesh foundation, and he was digging. Do you think that you just got saved all at once? You think you went to hear a message and then all of a sudden you just got saved? It's a work of God. Salvation is of the Lord alone. No one can take credit for saving someone. You might lead him to the Lord, but God has been working on him for a good long time. All kinds of things have happened to him. All things were permitted to happen to him. Now, whether you like it or not, you have been chosen to be called. And he's going to find you. Maybe you're listening. He's going to find you in the bar. He's going to find you in the house of ill repute. He's going to find you, on your job. He's going to find you, sitting at a pot party. He's going to find you sitting in some church. He's going to find you. Your days are numbered. You dirty rat, you. You got to have some humor in this, you see, because people, I'll tell you right now, God is, in the end, there's going to come a great revival. It isn't going to come by people. All the people that are filled with the Holy Ghost and are preaching mercy and love and forgiveness, and I'm talking about dedicated folks that have given their lives for the cause of Christ. I mean, you know, something's going to happen. There's going to be a move of the Spirit of God. God is going to use, it says in the end, the low, base, perverted things of the world to confound the wise. Why? We're too busy running our Barnum and Bailey circus. Three ring. God is going to, some night, some hobo is going to get off of that bus, and he's going to go out, he's going to be called to God, and he's going to go out and he's going to start preaching the gospel. And he's going to have some little kid. It says in the end, the young will lead the old. Some little kid will come along, and they'll start preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And everybody will stand there. Well, hey, that was our job one time. The tents are going to fall down on them like gourds. God, you said you were going to burn them up! Changed my mind. Is that okay with you? I think the fear of the Lord is, not too many have fear of the Lord anymore. They'd be giving out mercy. God knows we all need it. No, he's going to find you no matter where you're at. I talked to a guy on the line yesterday, out there on that bread line. And I says, would you like some cabbages or lettuce? He says, can I put it in my pipe? Well, I said, what you do with it is none of my business. I said, you're going to look kind of silly with a great big cabbage sitting on top of your pipe. I said, but I'll tell you something. I've ministered in the mental institutions and people that go on and put this stuff in their pipe, and a lot of them just take that wrong little dosage or they get a bad cut. Someone that's made a cut with their drugs and they get a wrong cut and they're out there at the mental institution. And good to see the guy just sort of turn white. He says, oh, I tried 7 or 8 things last night. Nothing bothered me. I said, I didn't say that. I says, it's just that one time. Just that one time. I says, you know, just don't waste your time on that kind of thing. You know, it's your business. If you want to put a cabbage on top of your pipe, go ahead on. It won't light too easy, though. So all the stuff we have here is fresh. See, you make your point without condemning someone and then go on. You don't say, what's that you said? Drugs! Down! Repent! Well, there have been nobody in those lines. Say, where'd everybody go? You know what I'd been stuck with? All of that rotten fruit. Including myself. Oh,
Brother, you should have ministered to him. The woes of drugs.
He already knows the woes of drugs. And his eyeballs are ready to fall out of his head. No, you just lift up the Lord. They don't say, lay your cabbages down. No, see, the gospel is that God has mercy upon the guilty and the undeserving. Christ, it says, came into the world to save sinners. It's not the gospel of you who do your best will be saved because that they have some kind of a claim to mercy. No, they do not. No, this is the wrong road, and friend, get off of it and get off of it quickly. Come on to me, it says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and a lad trying to smoke cabbages and a corn cob pipe, and I will give you rest. This man needed rest. I mean, he was gray and sick and bags under his eyes and woozy and sick, ready to vomit. Yes, you too. You listening on the radio. You listening to this tape. Don't be afraid. Come just as you are. Don't try to hide that cabbage. You qualify as a sinner. You qualify for mercy and you qualify for grace. I think the most guilty are called to the grace of God. Behold, I set before you an open door of grace and say, enter in just as you are. Come on in. But then let me wrap this up here. But then the Israelites were earnest and zealous in following after the law of righteousness. There's a lot of people that never miss church. You're probably listening right now. You never miss communion. You give generously. Now, I can't really put a finger on any wrong that you've committed. But you're like that great red apple. Red on the outside and rotten on the inside. And right now, while I preach, you know it's so. You probably suspect already that you're not right with God. You have no peace and you have no joy and you have all of your little secret sins. And so when you see other people free, you call them presumptuous. Or else maybe you even envy them. But listen, many will perish in the light as well as the heathen in the dark. Come to yourself right now. But notice these people made a mistake from the beginning. It may not seem like too big a mistake, but it was so in reality, I believe. Israel did not follow after righteousness, but it says after, listen carefully, after the law of righteousness, after the letter. They missed the spirit, which is the righteousness, and followed after the weak letter of the law. They knew the letter, but they didn't know the spirit. They knew the Bible, but they didn't know the author. And they looked at thou shalt not kill, and they looked at thou shalt not commit adultery, and remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. But to love God with all of their heart and all of their mind and all of their soul was not their thought. And yet this is the essence of all righteousness. And so they looked at the letter of the law and paid their tithe. They worshipped, in other words, what they kept by the letter and never knew the author. But then to purify their motives and cleanse their hearts did not even occur to them. They thought of what a man does, but they forgot, I think, the importance is here is what a man is. And, in the, you know, so many times we can do things but it's who we really are. What a man is that shows up in the end. I saw a show here the other night, and it was about the great runaway train thing. Did you ever see that one, anybody? It's called The Runaway Train, and it had these convicts in it. And it had this guy in there, and he was just a rougher, you know. And in the end, he really showed what he was made out of. I thought, boy, that was really a lesson in what we really are. I mean, when it comes right down to it, what you'll really do for a friend is what counts. No greater love hath a man than in that he would die for a friend. If it makes your brother stumble, don't do it. I mean, there's a lot of things there. No, they looked at the letter and paid their tithe, but they never knew the author. Whew. No, it's what we are. It shows up in the end. I was watching this little news clip, and it showed the bakers, and then the camera spun around, and it caught their backs walking away. And I thought, ooh, man. What is everybody going to do when it's all done? What is everybody going to do when it's all done? Will there be rejoicing down there at that heritage house down there? Will people go down there? Will the water slide or the different things, amusements and all that, won't it be kind of empty? Has anything ever really been proven? What are we going to do when it's all done? Oral Roberts, another person, said, we have a brother perched up in a prayer tower like some kind of a bird. And I thought, hey, that's his business, not yours. And you know who really needs mercy in this? Barnum and Bailey, ringmasters. The ring leaders are going to need mercy when this whole damnable thing is over. We all need mercy. But if we don't give mercy, we aren't going to receive any. I suppose they could dig up all kinds of information about folks. Look what they're doing to the president. It says, pray for the president. There's so much politics. Hey, I'll tell you, if the truth was revealed about this whole thing, it is a political shim-sham. There's a lot of people that strive to keep the law better by how they dress, what the preacher should wear, what position they should occupy at communion, how the place of worship is decorated, what's a proper hymn and what's proper music, and it doesn't mean anything if we don't have mercy. What is the purpose of all this? To elevate ourselves? What is the purpose of everything we see? Is it to elevate self? I mean, are we afraid to communicate with someone that's dying, and are we going to walk around them? Oh, God, look, let's pretend like you don't see them. Walk. Here, there they are. There they come. Oh. That's the truth. I mean, I know myself personally. I went through a divorce, which is hard. Very hard. But it's kind of like, felt like saying, hey, don't look now, but your big gut is hanging out from behind that pole. Yeah, it just makes me almost want to cry. I had this on my mind every time. I wake up in the morning, it's on my mind. It's on my mind because I think we need to really get into mercy. I've been preaching for 14, 15 years. I've never had any other message. And people say, oh, I mean, why don't you get into this? I mean, you know, hey, you don't have the revelation yet, brother. The jewels. You should have went down to this meeting and got a hold of the little jewels of truth. I said, well, I can't go down there. I don't believe that. I mean, I came out of going after worldly things. I came out of that. Go ahead, you go, but I don't want to go. Well, brother, you need to move more in the gifts. I said, God gives severally whoever he wants to give the gifts, and he moves through them, and it's a flow of the Holy Ghost. And while the preacher is preaching, he might move in all of the gifts. And he moves in them when he doesn't know he's moving in them. No, I think the purpose is to elevate self. I think we want to be right in our heart with God. I think that we should trust in his dear son. Now, there are people that you can trust. You can trust them to put a knife in your back. And you've been those people. You've got people. You can trust all your people, but you trust them for different things. Some you can trust with your money, and some you can trust with this and that, and some you can trust that are going to put you down. Go on out and say all kinds of nasty nasties about you. Sometimes you don't want them to go because you know what they're going to do. Well, tell them to go and do what they're going to do and have at it, see, because folks will find a new dung heap. No, to be renewed into his image is better than all ritual. To humble ourselves, to be spat on, to be ridiculed, to be slandered, to have all of us, it doesn't really matter. I mean, it's no big deal. I'll get melancholy of it. Guess I'm getting Christ-like. There's an arrow in my back. They found my weak point. Doesn't that smack of self-righteousness, my weak point? No, you're supposed to be weak. Totally, your whole body, not just your heel. You heel, huh? Yes, the Israelites did not attain righteousness. I'll tell you why. Because they went upon the wrong principle. They went on works. They said, we must keep the law so we can be saved. And so that kind of principle exalts man. They become the moral righteousnesses group. And if you don't believe me, take a look out there. See, if you get to heaven on that kind of a road, you won't get in. Because that system sort of puffs you up, smells of pride. And it says that we fall because of pride. Pride cometh before the fall. And I think it altogether ignores the fact that you have already sinned. You have never really come to yourself. And many of you, let me use this word, I hope it sticks with you. Many of you would puke if you really came to yourself. I think, in other words, there are a lot of pukes around. You need to have a good puke. I I love that because people remember it. Did you ever hear such language? He called me a puke. Do you ever see yourself as a puke? You do pukey things. You need to get rid of it. How do you get rid of being a puke? Puke! Now what I'm seeing right now, people, you pukes out there should just puke. Gag on your own stuff. Because salvation by works does not work. It shuts the door to His mercy. See, you've already been convicted of rebellion. You are already condemned. You cannot reverse the decision. Your only hope is in God's mercy. You can never deserve pardon. It must be an act of pure grace. Nothing but God's long suffering can keep any of us out of hell. Listen, you who think so much of yourselves, with every other word you have to smack your lips to just savor everything you've said. You who sit yourself down among the naturally good, you naturally smell. You think you should be taught a lesson in taking off your plastic jewelry. You've decorated yourself for hellish works. And I think we should learn how to pluck out those peacock, proud peacock feathers of self-confidence. It's an awful mock, it's an awful liar, and it's a sure way to hell's doings. Because no one can perfectly keep the law. Go ahead and promise yourself that you'll not sin at the breakfast table. You know what will happen? You'll get caught right in the middle of your milk toast. And so stop working under the lash there. You must be born again. You must be washed by the blood. And I think a lot of people have missed the grace message. I'm sorry, but it is the truth. Salvation by Jesus Christ is received by faith alone. It's a real simple message. That's like, and I'll say this in closing, there is a deep, let's say a very deep river, swift and broad, just ahead of you. And you say, well, I must swim across. There is no other way. But I said, look, the King has built a bridge here, a mercy bridge. Cross over, free of charge. Nope! I'm going to swim and I'm going to save myself. Now I'm going to go over on my own doctrine. And so a lot of people have gone halfway across and they come back just tired out, wet and cold. Give up and cross over the bridge. Isn't there a song like that? Cross over the bridge. Come to the cross, you who are listening here, you on the radio, and cross over the bridge and come to the cross and accept the blood. And all you have to do is admit you are a sinner. And you, by admitting you're a sinner, you have repented. Yes, I am a sinner. That's repentance when you can admit you're a sinner. That's the beginning right there. And just leave the God of self and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the grace message. There's nothing else that we can preach. We have nothing else. Is there any good thing in anybody? Is there anything else you can preach? No. No, not one single solitary thing. So I know everybody in here today, but I think we had a salvation call. You people out there on the radio or listening to this tape, you know how simple it is to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? The Bible says that He afore knew you and prepared you to be a vessel of mercy. And it also says, if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, thou wilt be saved. It also says that He put the word in your mouth and in the heart, the word we preach, that if you'll just say it, God will save you. And you start right there, and actually that's all it is to get into heaven. Because Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher. That's it. And just go out and live your life, people, and be realistic, and don't try to shape yourself into something else on account of people's opinions or something else. I mean, you know, you're a personality, of course, but really, God has seen you as an individual. It's a personal thing. Salvation is a personal thing. It's nobody's business. It's between you and God. Isn't that wonderful? Someone can't butt into your relationship or your love affair with Jesus. Oh, we can correct one another and so on like that, but we always show mercy. We can direct one another. If somebody asks a question, we can say, well, let's pray about it. And we can help one another along the road. And if there's somebody crippled, we pick them up. And I think that God is going to see a lot of people carrying the lame and the halt and all those folks in on their backs. And that's what the gospel is all about, see. Giving out mercy. And being down here on the north side where there is such a need has really made me, and while I was always a realist, I really believe that because of my upbringing in that. But I mean, really, you become a realist when you really see yourself. See, as miserable, wretched, and poor. And it really has opened up a light to me that, you know, just be yourself. And minister the gospel. And don't get into pretend and pretense and all of that. You know what I mean? Maybe it isn't just you. Maybe that was my problem. I couldn't go along to all these things. And I couldn't be the preacher that people wanted me to be. And, you know, get into all kinds of things because it wouldn't be me. It wouldn't be gospel. I just couldn't do it. I could not do it. I could not bring myself into doing that because that isn't what God put in me. Lord, I want to thank you for this audience here today. I want to thank you for the opportunity, again, to minister the grace message, which we all so much need, Lord. God, we just pray that all the contention and all the circuitry and circusing would just quit right now in the mighty name of Jesus, and we would come to ourselves and our senses and just say, hey, this is nonsense, that the world may see, behold how they love one another and be persuaded to come to Jesus Christ by that thing. Behold how they love one another. In Jesus' sweet, precious name, amen. Who's going to play or sing? Now,
there you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 264. That was part two to Law. If you missed part one, you can go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you will find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. You're also going to find show notes, and within those show notes are scripture links. So be sure to check those out. Join us every Friday for part one of Pastor Paul's podcast and every Sunday for part two. Next Friday, join us for Self. Have a great week. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper, it might be a young Turk, maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe you're a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop. You may know how to cut hair. You may be somebody's mistress. Maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk. Might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ. You may call me Ray. You may call me anything. No matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.